The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It is Monday, March 4th. I'm Scott Seidenberg.
And I'm AJ Hoffman.
Stock up, stock down from the NFL Combine.
And Caitlin Clark sets a mark.
Here comes the Vegas truth.
This is Straight Out of Vegas.
We are Straight Out of Vegas AM, your daily destination for sports conversation with a Vegas lean. Here's what you need to know to start your day.
The Combine wraps up in Indianapolis.
The Celtics continue to make history.
And Caitlin Clark does as well, Scott. What is the Vegas lead?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Caitlin Clark, and I'm not going to knock her down because I think what she accomplished is incredible. And this isn't the Vegas lead, but I just want to make one side comment, maybe about appreciating Pistol Pete Maravich a little bit more than people have been doing lately, because
Pistol Pete averaged like 44 and a half points per game with no three-point line. He's a god.
That's the point I'm trying to make. So they actually went back and tracked every single one of his shots in college, and had there been a three-point line, he would have averaged over 57 points per game.
Oh my god.
So with all due respect to Caitlin Clark, who is the all-time Division I basketball scoring champion, passing Pistol Pete's mark, I think let's put a little more respect. And again, I am not disrespecting Caitlin Clark. I just want people to really acknowledge, because a lot of people that are following the story with Caitlin Clark have no idea who Pete Maravich is. Mm-hmm. By the way, incredible book. But, you know, it's just put some more respect on his name. He was one of the all-time greats. And again, no three-point line when he played, and was the first guy doing behind-the-back passes, no-look passes, all that crazy stuff. Pistol Pete Maravich, one of the greatest of all time. But congratulations, Caitlin Clark, the all-time college basketball scoring champ, and she'll be the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft next season. And speaking of number one overall picks in the draft, the NFL Combine wrapped up in Indianapolis, AJ. We saw the quarterbacks throw, some of them, on Saturday. And
less than some? I don't know.
But a lot of players had their stock go up. Some players had their stock maybe go down. One player I think we can acknowledge right away that had his stock go up was Xavier Worthy, who beat John Ross's record and ran the fastest 40 time in combine history.
4.21. And Xavier Worthy was one of those guys who everybody basically had marked as a day two guy that, maybe you're getting some nice value here in day two. I think day two value may be gone now on Xavier Worthy, who was already a pretty damn good route runner, but now he's running a 4.21 40. I think Xavier Worthy may have earned himself some first round money.
Yeah, seriously. What a performance from him. And I was listening to all the scouts and everyone talking, the analysts on the broadcast, and they were saying it's not just the 40 speed. Like, it's not a fluke, they're saying, that he ran fast. They're saying that the 40 speed translates to the field. Because if you watch some of the routes that he run, and if you clock the speed that he ran some of his routes and then ran with the football after the catch, it matches up. It measures up. He didn't just prepare for a sprint and then run the fastest 40 time. This dude is fast.
Yeah, and he's a weapon, man. And coming into the season, he was looked at as one of the best receivers in the country, and now this. So, huge weekend for Xavier Worthy. And it's Adonai Mitchell from Texas had a great weekend as well, and it makes you wonder how how Texas is going to throw the ball next season, losing these guys that they're losing. Jatavion Sanders, like, they're losing a bunch of real talent. So, but congratulations to all those guys making themselves some really good money.
Well, one guy that made a lot of noise at the combine, and it's not because of his workouts, and that's Caleb Williams, the presumed number one overall pick. He is minus 1,100 on DraftKings to be the number one overall pick. He's minus 1,600 on FanDuel to be the number one overall pick. He did not work out at the combine.
Okay.
Did nothing.
He didn't just talked.
He didn't take medicals either. Now, he did talk. He did some interviews, media interviews. But this is from his press conference on why he didn't go through medical evaluations or workouts here at the Combine. Let's listen to Caleb Williams.
Yeah, so for the medical stuff, I'll be doing the medical stuff, just not here in Indy. I'll be doing it at the team interviews. You know, not 32 teams can draft me. There's only one of me. And so the teams that I go to for my visit, you know, those teams will have the medical, and that'll be it. I didn't feel the need to go out and throw. I played around 30 some games, I believe. Go ahead and go watch real live ball of me and see how I am as a competitor.
Okay, a couple of things here. One, it sounds like someone who's trying to stick it to the system, right?
It does sound like, that way.
Right? Like, I'm better. This is almost like what he did with NIL, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to make money. I want to go, whatever, all this stuff. Like, this sounds like that's what he's trying to do. And this is, you know, a sense of entitlement. This is what happens when you have a kid who maybe made more money this year at USC than he's going to make his rookie year in the NFL.
Probably.
And so you got a millionaire already that it has a sense of entitlement, has the money to back up his entitlement, and says, I don't need to throw. Like, I don't need to work out. You already know what I can do. I'm not working out for you. Meanwhile, everyone else goes through this process, but he's too good to go through this process. Now, the medical one, that bothers me a little bit more. And I'll tell you why. Certain teams have much better medical staffs than other teams. Certain teams discover things that other teams don't. And when that happens and word gets out, it's like what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Is that the saying? Like, it's the news gets out. It's good for everybody, right? You discover everything. And when I say, like, different teams find different things, we see this all the time in sports. In Major League Baseball, you know, Carlos Correa, you know, was going to sign a massive deal with the San Francisco Giants until they discovered something in his medical that previously wasn't discovered. So they backed out on the deal. The Mets then were going to sign him, and their doctors didn't find what was going on in the Giants thing until they hired the same doctor that the Giants used. And then that guy was like, oh yeah, this is what I found in his MRIs or whatever. And then ultimately, you know, he winds up going back to the Twins and all that stuff. So that's what I mean. Like, there's different teams out there that have different medical staffs that find things. And is he hiding something? Does he not want somebody to see that maybe he's got a risk of an injury? So he only wants the teams that are number one or number two in the draft to be able to give him a medical evaluation?
Well, I think the absurdity of that is he's right. There's only one of him, but any of the 32 teams technically could draft him.
And they can trade up and get him, yes.
Sure. And why wouldn't you want to make the market for yourself as big as possible? Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand why you'd say, I want to limit the, I mean, I guess that's what it is. He wants to limit the teams who can draft him. And it's not the first we've seen this. We all remember Jim Kelly didn't even go to the NFL because he didn't want to go to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. You know, John Elway famously, and later on it was Eli Manning famously didn't want to go to the Chargers. Like, it's, guys have done this before, just in different ways. This is maybe a unique way of doing that, saying, yeah, I'm not going to work out for you, Washington Commanders. So I'm not meeting with you. It's I don't think it's wise, but maybe he's just trying to set himself up in a place where he wants to be.
Here was the response when Caleb was asked if he is afraid to compete.
Caleb, are you afraid?
Good morning, everybody.
Are you afraid to compete? How do you respond to people saying that you're worried to be compared side by side with your peers in medicals, measurements, and workouts? Are you afraid to be measured against this guy one-on-one? Is that why you're not doing things?
No, not doing things. It was a decision by me and my team, my family, and it comes down to that.
He's just so smug when he's answering these questions too. Like
it's a, well, but also Scott, that's a pretty smug question.
Like, yeah, of course.
That's a guy trying to make a sound clip. And I thought that Caleb did a decent job of handling himself when the guy asked a question like that. I didn't think that was a very professional way to ask the question. But that said, I made it clear before the combine even started, I'm not crazy about the idea that this guy's not going to be doing anything there. I don't understand why go there and just do interviews? Everybody's got Zoom now. You want to do that? If that's all you're going to do is talk, like just talk. But I guess like he said, his team's got it figured out. His agent, I'm sure, has a plan. It's just, it is very odd in my opinion.
And here was Caleb Williams on his meeting with the Bears.
Lunch, there's a million Photoshop.
It was good. It was good. Everybody was, you know, cool. And that's a Gen Z, I guess, kind of word to use. But, it was really nice. It was, they were mainly testing me on my mental, you know, seeing, you know, how I would handle things and, you know, putting a play up on the board. And then 15 minutes later, asking me to recall it and things like that. So it was good. It was a good meeting.
All right, so good meeting with the Chicago Bears, but he also at one point basically said that the Bears aren't going to draft him. Like he doesn't think that the Bears are going to draft him. Like it's just there's so much with this kid that I don't like, and I got to be honest, and this is not like a hot take machine. I don't think he's going to translate to the NFL. You know, and I've watched analysts break down his film. And he is a phenomenal athlete. And we've seen phenomenal athletes in college not have their game translate to the NFL. Because in the NFL, you can't get away with just being faster than your opponent. You can't get away with just being, you know, better physically than your opponent. You have to be better mentally. You have to be smart. For as great as Patrick Mahomes is, at, you know, the improvs and the crazy sidearm and underhand throws or whatever, I think one of his greatest gifts is how smart he is, knowing where his teammates are on the field and knowing what the opponent is doing, like in coverage wise. And I watched somebody break down film of Caleb Williams, and it was a touchdown play, right? It was a deep touchdown play at USC, and they did a freeze frame as he hit the back of his his drop back. And they said, this is where in the NFL, you have to get rid of this football. Because in the NFL, the defense is already on you, right? And there was a player, a tight end or a wide receiver that was running just like a hitch route. And they said, this guy's wide open for 6 yards. You have to get him the football. What Caleb Williams did instead was roll out of the pocket, elude a defensive end with his athleticism, and throw a bomb down the field to a receiver for a touchdown. And the analyst, who I apologize for forgetting who it was on X, was saying, that play is just not available in the NFL. Like, yeah, plays do break down at times in the NFL, and you catch guys sleeping or whatever. But for the most part, if you want to be a successful NFL quarterback, you have to take those 6 yards when they're given to you. And so you got to make the smart choice at times. And I don't know if Caleb Williams is going to be able to do that.
I think that's a fair assessment by whatever analyst it was. And when you say that, when you say being a great athlete isn't enough, the first guy that comes to mind to me is Vince Young. And I covered Vince his entire college career. And I remember thinking like, man, this guy is just, he's better than everybody on the field every game. Like you can tell there's a difference. And, if you ever see any of Vince's high school tape, it's very similar. It looks like there's a grown man playing with a bunch of kids. And that's what Vince was mostly through college. And when he got to the NFL, he didn't take things as seriously as he should have and just assumed, like always, that he was big and strong and fast enough and talented enough that wouldn't matter. And he would just make it work. And you know what? It didn't work. So I get what you're saying. It worries me. I'll say this. I'm not ballsy enough to say if I had the first pick, I wouldn't draft Caleb Williams number one, because it feels like if you don't draft him number one and he's good, you're going to look like an idiot. It's probably a career losing move if you pass on him and he's good.
Yeah, of course. But
I don't know that I'd be looking to trade up or franchise or mortgage my franchise's future to get my hands on the guy either.
Caleb Williams has an annual valuation of $2.7 million. that was his NIL deal in college. I feel like it has, and it's not just him, maybe, I feel like NIL with a high-profile player like this has kind of, it builds in a sense of entitlement, whereas a player like J.J. McCarthy, who, you know, doesn't have that type of cachet, goes out there and works out for everybody and impresses the hell out of scouts to the point where there's people from Indy saying that he could be the third quarterback off the board because of how good he looked in the combine.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, but here's the question for Caleb. Your stock can't go up, right? J.J. McCarthy's stock could go up.
You're right.
Could have gone down.
And maybe that's the thing. Like, the only thing that could happen to Caleb Williams by doing anything at the NFL Combine is going to be negative.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, negative.
If he would have had the best, like if he, let's say he ran a 4.21 40, which is impossible, but let's say he did, and he threw the ball like Jamarcus Russell threw the ball his year, like did all the crazy things, he'd still go number one.
but you know what would happen though is the Bears would be happy about it because it would likely open up the door for maybe more teams inquiring to trade for that number one overall pick. And it might have done Caleb Williams a favor. If he doesn't want to play for the Chicago Bears, it's going to do him a favor to look good, because now you're opening the door for more teams to trade for that number one pick and take you.
Sure. But if Caleb Williams doesn't want to play for the Chicago Bears, he can probably just say, I don't want to play for the Chicago Bears, and chances are good, the Bears will find a way to get something done, because they don't want to deal with the headache either. If they've got, because the Bears obviously have a big choice to make. If the guy says he doesn't want to be there, which I'm not saying that he said that. I haven't heard anything of the sort. But if he does say, if he tells the Bears in meetings, hey, I don't want to be in Chicago, it's a really easy decision for the Bears. Like that makes their choice a lot easier. But I mean, I think that's something that Caleb Williams probably feels like he controls anyway. So Caleb Williams wanted to maintain as much control of his stock as possible. And like you said, I mean, there's no going up for him. Like the only thing that could have happened to him is something bad. Either he tweaks a knee, or he does something dumb, or he's got, you know, a bad body fat percentage, or he's slow, whatever it could have been. All that would have done is cast doubts, and he's in a position now where there's no need to cast doubts. Like, if anything, let that mystery work in your favor and make these guys want you more.
Well, the one team that I think he wants to play for, and just reading between the lines, and I'm not the only one that's done this, you can just look at what he said in interviews and whatnot, he wants to play for the Vikings. And I don't know if Minnesota is going to be able to trade up from number 11 to number 1, but if they do, Caleb Williams would be very happy. He's been quoted as saying Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in the NFL. He was a former roommate with Jordan Addison at USC. So I think that, you know,
and it's a quarterback friendly offense.
Yes, exactly. So I think that would be like his ideal landing spot if he had his way.
But I also think the Vikings, from what I understand and reading over the weekend, the Vikings are prioritizing trying to sign Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins, who's been in Minnesota for 6 years, his family's happy there. And obviously Kirk Cousins, a family man. He's apparently willing to take a hometown discount. Now, how much of one, that's to be determined, but it seems like both sides want Kirk Cousins back in Minnesota. It's just how much does Minnesota want him is the question.
I mentioned J.J. McCarthy before, and yeah, his stock is probably one of the ones that rose the most at the combine, especially amongst quarterbacks, because not many people, you know, people didn't know how good of a thrower of the football he was because Michigan didn't really pass that much. You know, they were a run-first offense, but he looked great throwing the football. A lot of scouts were saying he had zip on the ball, his footwork was incredible, and he ran the three-cone drill with an impressive time that showed that he's got some athleticism and agility. And so he probably worked himself into the first round.
Yeah, it seems that way. So, and good for him. He was one of the guys when we talked to Lance, we talked about like he was on the border, right? Like there's mm-hmm. some people who think he is, some people who think he isn't. Well, probably is now. Like there's a couple guys who probably worked their way into the first. And I'm certain we don't hear much about these guys. There's some guys who probably worked their way out of it as well. But either way, they got when somebody works their way in, it means somebody's bumping out. And I think it very well could be a guy who chooses not to work out. Like if I'm, you know, we're talking about this as media guys, Scott, and like for us, it's a story if somebody wants to work out or not. But if I'm like a GM and a scout, and I fly to freaking Indianapolis for a week, mm-hmm. I want to see what you can do. And if you don't want to do it, even if there's no way I'm not going to be at least a little annoyed. It's annoying. So if there's like a decision to be made, and it comes down to, I like this guy, I like this guy, I like these two guys the same. I'd be like, yeah, this guy wasted my time in Indianapolis. I'll take the other guy. Like, that's just my thinking.
So I kind of want to put this bet in. I kind of want to bet J.J. McCarthy to be the number three overall pick at plus 800. Because if he performed that well and people are talking about him as potentially being the third quarterback taken, then the draft could go Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2, and then J.J. McCarthy 3 over Jaden Daniels. Or maybe it's Daniels 2 and McCarthy 3, even though I've heard great things about Drake May as well from the interview process and whatnot. But I kind of think that's worth a little bit of a sprinkle. J.J. McCarthy, overall.
Because guess what? Jaden Daniels, one of those guys who didn't run, didn't throw. It's like that's one of the ones that, okay, I could see someone being frustrated with that. So if it comes down to, do I like J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels? Well, maybe it's the guy I went and saw who worked out for me. That's what I like.
You can get him. He's plus 800 on DraftKings, plus 850 on FanDuel. Number three overall pick, J.J. McCarthy. Before we tie a bow around the NFL Combine, we have to acknowledge the passing of one of the greatest football reporters that I've ever, been around, and that's Chris Mortensen, the legend from ESPN, Mort, passing away at the age of 72. Do you ever have any doings with Mortensen?
Yeah, I actually did several times. Mort would come on my show. And when I was young in radio, I used to, I forget what it was. There was a run where Mortensen was wrong on like three or four things. And I started doing a bit on my show where I was Chris Mortensen and someone would ask me a question and I would make up some ridiculous thing. And yeah. It was never going to come true, but that was just kind of the bit. But I can say from all my dealings with him, and obviously I dealt with him only on a professional level, but the people who dealt with him on a personal level say he's just like, he was the greatest guy. He was a very nice guy. So it's a big loss. I mean, he's you're right. When you think about the NFL reporters over the last several years, the insiders, it was like Mortensen and Schefter were the two, mm-hmm. those two guys that really like kind of broke out as the go-to guys. His work will be missed.
You know, I remember Adam Schefter was with, what was he, Denver? He was he was at a newspaper in Denver before he went over to ESPN, and it was mm-hmm. only Mort. And then I thought just the Mort was so gracious in just accepting Schefter as like his heir apparent, and the two of them worked together and were great. And Mort was always great to me and at my time at ESPN and any show that I produced or hosted, he's just one of a kind. It's crazy to think when you think about the legends of, well, just the legends of football. I mean, between Mort and John Clayton, passing away. It's like, oh my goodness, like these are two of the guys that you used to rely on for any information with the NFL. But then just thinking ESPN just entirely, it's like, you know, between Clayton and Mort and Stuart Scott and Saunders, it's like, you know, it's like our childhood watching ESPN is it's sad, man. It really is sad, but you know, hey, he was one of the best, and we remember Mort here today. NBA yesterday, another historic performance from the Boston Celtics as they became the first team to have 3 50-point wins this season. They won their 11th straight, blowing out the Warriors 140-88. AJ,
that's assault, brother.
Is anybody going to beat the Celtics this year?
I don't know. I mean, this is 11 straight wins for them. They look out of this world. But, you know, the playoffs are a different animal, and all it takes is one hot run or one injury, so you never know. But, yeah, right now, I mean, it's hard to picture anybody beating this team 4 out of 7.
Yeah, it's that's the thing. Like, we could talk about one night in, night out, but you're going to beat this Celtics team 4 times out of 7 games? I can't see it. Like you said, I just can't see it with how good they've been. And yeah, the first team ever to have 3 50-plus-point wins, 50 or more, in a single season. It's just incredible. Elsewhere, Jalen Brunson left the Knicks game, and it was hold-your-breath time for the Knicks. It was a knee injury. They said it's just a bruise and x-rays were negative because he bumped knees prior to falling. So what happened was he left the game after falling, and it was like, uh-oh, like, please don't be a meniscus, because, you know, he's had knee issues in the past. And it was just from a play that happened before when he bumped knees with somebody, and he's going to be okay unless they find something with further testing. They say that it's just a bruise and he's okay. The Knicks beat the Cavs 107-98 even after Brunson left the game. Other finals from yesterday, the Sixers topped the Mavericks 121-116. Clippers over the Timberwolves 89-88. Magic beat the Pistons 113-91. Raptors over the Hornets 111-106. The Spurs beat the Pacers 117-105.
Spurs are Yama, hot.
31-12 for Wemby. What a performance there. And the Thunder beat the Suns 118-110. Suns losing both games here on this back-to-back. Looking at the schedule for tonight, the Grizzlies are at the Nets. Brooklyn, 8.5-point favorites. Clippers visit the Bucks. Milwaukee, 4.5-point favorites. T-Wolves host the Blazers. Minnesota laying 14.5. Wizards are at the Jazz. Utah, 5.5-point favorites. Bulls at the Kings. Sacramento, 6.5-point favorites. And the Thunder, playing the second of a back-to-back, are in L.A. against the Lakers. Lakers -1.5. Speaking of the Lakers, over the weekend, LeBron with the 40,000th career point. And, you know, I've always said this when it comes to the GOAT debate. And it's one where there are LeBron people and there are Jordan people. And you're never going to be able to come up with an answer. And I've always said, and I'll stand by this, sometimes in life, and I'll give you a reference. I was a big Lost fan. The TV show Lost.
Yep.
Loved it. Loved Lost. And same thing like Sopranos, like diehard Sopranos fan. And with like the endings of Lost and the ending of the Sopranos, and you can parlay this into or you know, translate this to the ending of any show that you love or whatever, that people don't like the ending to. Game of Thrones, perfect example. Everybody hates the ending of Game of Thrones. And I would tell everybody this. It's not about the ending. It's not about how the story wraps up. It's about the journey that you went on watching this show. And for me, as much as I disliked the ending of Game of Thrones, I was thankful for the journey of watching that show. Same thing with Lost. Lost was the first one to do it to me, where I was like, oh, really? That's the ending? You know, like, but the journey of watching that show is what I appreciate. Sometimes in life, the answer to the question doesn't matter. The fact that you can ask the question, that's all you need. I don't need a definitive answer about whether LeBron or Jordan is the greatest player of all time. I just have to enjoy the ride that I was lucky enough to watch both of these players play.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can ask the question, is LeBron the greatest of all time? That's all that matters.
I don't disagree. I'm not like a, I'm not one of these guys who feels like I'm going to die on this hill or this hill. But you're right. At the end of the day, we're lucky that we've gotten to see, I mean, we're lucky to see a lot of the guys that we've seen. Kobe Bryant in that conversation, Shaq in that conversation. We've seen some great players, people our age have anyway. And then, you know, people older got to see the Wilt Chamberlains and the Kareems. I mean, I saw very late Kareem, not the real Kareem in my opinion, but either way, like everybody's got, every generation is going to have one of these. And I keep telling my older son that one day there's going to be when he's got kids, his kid is going to say, this new guy is better than LeBron. And you're going to say, I don't know. I saw LeBron play. Like, this was the real deal. And every generation has that, man. Every generation does. And I remember like when Shaq and Hakeem were like the dominant big men, trying to compare them to Wilt Chamberlain. It's like, I mean, does it really matter who's better at the end? Like, if you got to see both, appreciate that you got to see both. You're right. I disagree with you on the TV stuff, but I can get with you on the on the comparing players thing.
What I'm trying to say is that sometimes it's about the journey and not the end result. And it the fact that we're witnessing like the old Nike LeBron campaign, we are all witnesses. The fact that we are witnessing LeBron's career is just something that we should acknowledge and not worry about whether you're going to rank him one or two when comparing him to Michael Jordan. You know, that's all I got. That's all I want to say.
There was only one game in the top 25 on yesterday's slate, and it wasn't much of a game as the number 3 UConn Huskies obliterated Seton Hall 91-61. Good luck getting in the way of UConn right now as they are in domination mode, particularly.
That's an outright Big East title yesterday.
That is a regular season title locked up. Good thing for UConn because, like I said, at the beginning of the season, it was basically 3 co-favorites to win that conference, and UConn certainly stood above the rest. Big win yesterday. There are 2 games on the slate tonight in the top 25, starting with number 10 Duke on the road at North Carolina State. Duke is a 5.5-point favorite. They thumped Virginia over the weekend. Duke did, looking to keep it rolling as we head into the conference tournament season. Number 15 Baylor is a 6.5-point home favorite. Short road trip for the Texas Longhorns.
Are you worried about Baylor? Because they had the huge win on Saturday against Kansas. Is this a letdown spot maybe?
I don't think it will be because, when you're in the Big 12, particularly the Texas schools in the Big 12, when Texas comes to your building, it's a big deal. And this is the last time Texas is going to Baylor as a member of the Big 12 conference. I think Baylor, the players are all going to be hyped for this. The crowd is going to be absolutely electric. If anything, I think this is a good spot to back Baylor again. Although Texas is playing with a little bit of desperation, I just think Baylor at home is a different monster.
What was your biggest takeaway from Saturday? I mean, that was a massive slate of games on the schedule. The ones that I hit were I had Creighton over Marquette, you know, once, you know, Marquette's dealing with injuries. So I had Creighton over Marquette, and then I did have Baylor over Kansas. I had Alabama over Tennessee, and I got stung on that one.
Yeah, Tennessee was probably the kings of the weekend, getting that win at Alabama. That's a huge win for them. They're in a really good spot right now. The SEC is jumbled at the top, but they've got a chance to separate themselves. They've got a couple games left in conference play. This week they play South Carolina on the road, and then they're home against Kentucky. 2 tough games. But if Tennessee can win those, they will win the regular season SEC title and likely lock themselves up a number 1 seed. And you mentioned the Creighton-Marquette game. Kudos to Marquette for hanging around Because without Igodoro and Kolek, Kolek with an oblique injury, Igodoro with an illness, I mean, they hung in that game up until about the last 5 or 10 minutes, and then Baylor Shireman just blew up in the final minutes of that game, and Creighton pulled away. But fantastic game for most of it, and that's a big win for Creighton. And now we get that matchup this week of Marquette and of Marquette and UConn. UConn traveling to Marquette. We all remember just a couple weeks ago, UConn humiliating Marquette in Connecticut. So a big week still. Some big things going still in the Big East this week. Also, Gonzaga taking care of St. Mary's on the road. That was a big deal for them. St. Mary's already won the regular season title. They go 15-1 in conference, but it was a hyped home spot for St. Mary's and a chance to close out a regular season undefeated in the WCC, and obviously a chance to knock off Gonzaga. But Gonzaga gets the job done, and their late season surge has been as impressive as anybody. I'd written them off. I still don't know that I don't think I look at them as like a title contender. They're not as good as they've been in the past several years, but you know, this is a team now that they've won 8 in a row. They've won 13 of their last 14. They've really turned their season around, and it's a team that these teams coached by Mark Few, and like nobody wants to play them in the tournament. They're still going to be a tough out no matter what. Come tournament time. Speaking of tournament, there is one conference tournament, Scott, that gets underway today. We've arrived. It is now officially conference tournament season, and we'll start in the Atlantic Sun. The matchups you've all been waiting for. Queens is at Florida Gulf Coast. These are on the home floors of the higher seeded teams. So Florida Gulf Coast will take on Queens, and Jacksonville is at Kennesaw State up there in Richmond, Kentucky. So some massive games on the slate for today.
On the NHL scoreboard yesterday, the Coyotes snapped their 14-game losing streak, beating the Capitals 5-2. Congratulations, the Coyotes get one in the W column. The Devils' struggles continue as they lose in L.A. Kings beat New Jersey 5-1. The Jets, a 5-2 win over the Sabres. Wild topped the Sharks 4-3. Canucks, a 2-1 win over the Ducks. And the Oilers blow out the Penguins 6-1. Some trade news and contract news over the weekend. The Vancouver Canucks signed Elias Pettersson to a big-time extension, so he is not going anywhere. Other extension news, the Rangers gave their backup goaltender Jonathan Quick a one-year extension. He's been tremendous for them. Trade market news, the Devils are in the market for a goaltender. This is now back-to-back games. Yesterday's game against the Kings and the game before that against the Ducks, where Nico Daws, their starter, got pulled in the game after allowing 4 goals on 14 shots, coincidentally, in both games, and Akira Schmid had to take over. The Devils are a talented team. They're in the race for a playoff spot, but they have terrible goaltending, and they have 2 young guys in Daws and Schmid. They need a veteran. Marc-Andre Fleury has told the Minnesota Wild that he wants to stay in Minnesota. He's got a no trade. He ain't going nowhere. He wants to stay in Minnesota. He's going to stay in Minnesota. The Devils called the Calgary Flames about Jacob Markstrom. Those talks fell through. They are expected to re-engage those talks. The Devils also called Nashville about UC Saros. And I heard that Nashville just hung up the phone on them. So there was no interest in that trade going down. Maybe Jake Allen from Montreal could be a guy that's on the move. He's, you know, a solid backup. You know, they love Sam Montembeau in Montreal. So maybe Jake Allen is a guy that could be on the trade market. But the trade deadline is this week. So the playoff contenders will be making moves, and then we will look to take advantage of those movers and shakers and fade the teams that are sellers. Let's take a look at the schedule for tonight in the NHL. The Bruins are at the Maple Leafs. Toronto is a -135 favorite. What a game Toronto played against the Rangers over the weekend, where we saw Rempe, the guy who, you know, the Rangers rookie who in six games, gotten four fights. The big bruiser, the 6'3 bruiser, Matt Rempe, he got into a fight with Ryan Reeves, who's been one of the guys. I mean, we remember him, AJ, here at the Golden Knights. He's a fighter. And watching that game, it felt like, remember the movie Goon? Like, it felt like, oh, well, Glatt has to fight Ross Ray, you know? Like, they got to fight each other. Like, you just knew going into the game that Reeves and Rempe were going to drop the gloves. You just didn't know when. It was actually a bad time for them to drop the gloves in the third period. Didn't mean anything. And what I loved about it was, and I know why Reeves did it, because Rempe took a big hit on one of the Maple Leafs players, sending him into the boards and injuring him. And so Reeves was, you know, defending his players. But Rempe looked back at the bench before engaging in the fight. And it's like he got approval from either his teammates or from head coach Peter Laviolette to fight. Reeves went at him. Rempe turned around, got the and then they dropped the gloves. And it was a good fight. But I like what Rempe has brought to the Rangers. They're a more physical team now with him on that fourth line. And he's protecting the star players with the fights. And it just adds a different dynamic to this Rangers team. So that was a fun fight to watch over the weekend. Speaking of the Rangers, they host the Panthers tonight. Florida, a -125 favorite. Florida might be the best team in the Eastern Conference, right there with the Rangers. This could be an Eastern Conference Finals preview, much like we saw between the Rangers and Leafs. Could be an Eastern Conference Finals preview. The Blues are at the Flyers. Philly, -135. The Vegas Golden Knights at the Blue Jackets, VGK -185. Blackhawks are at the Avalanche, Colorado -425 favorites. And the Kraken visit the Flames, Calgary -135.
The Lee's news was all about Caitlin Clark this weekend, but she wasn't the only one making waves in women's sports. South Carolina's women's team finished their second consecutive unbeaten regular season, 29-0. It was their 47th straight SEC regular season game, 57th straight home win. This is the first time in history that a woman's team is going to enter the SEC tournament unbeaten in back-to-back years or even multiple times. So incredible feat by South Carolina. And another long streak in women's sports was snapped over the weekend. Oklahoma softball had won 71 consecutive games.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Three straight national championships.
I mean, they had not lost a game in over a calendar year. The last time they lost was February 19th, 2023 at Baylor. And the Louisiana Lady Ragin' Cajuns came in and got themselves a 7-5 win up there in Norman. So it was an extra innings game, and Louisiana got the job done. Pinch hitter Samantha Grater came through at the plate, and Oklahoma falls to 18-1 on the season. Louisiana moves to 10-12. So just an incredible run in that span. Over this run, they outscored opponents 578-72, had shutouts in 56% of their games, and had wins over 42 different programs. 33 run rule wins in this streak. Just an incredible run by Oklahoma softball.
Make sure you guys are using promo codes to save money at pregame.com. You could use the promo code EGGS20, EGGS20, or BACON20, bacon and eggs, my favorite. Use that to save 20% off your purchase at pregame.com, no matter your purchase. Take 20% off using the promo codes BACON20 or EGGS20. For AJ Hoffman, I'm Scott Seidenberg. We are Straight Out of Vegas AM.